Lord. The Lord bless those that came out tonight. The Lord bless you. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Isaiah 9. And I know the scripture's probably been preached on a lot. I don't really maybe want to preach too much tonight. Just share some thoughts with you this evening from this very familiar portion, Isaiah 9 verse 6, and I want to share about the infinite Christ, and I might continue on this on Sunday, Lord will. Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's just bow our heads tonight, and if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord and we'll remember you in prayer. We want to pray again for Sister Suzanne and Sister Lynn and any others. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just humbly bow before you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for that name that you have set far above every name. We bless you tonight, Lord, that we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous. We are privileged that we can come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence tonight because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we plead the merits of your precious blood afresh on our lives and over this house tonight and all that's in it. And Lord, if we've sinned in any way, tongue, thought, word, or deed, forgive us, cleanse us, and sanctify us, and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray especially for the hands raised tonight. Lord, you know every need. And I pray you'll meet every need, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. We pray that you'll bind the strong one and spoil his goods in Jesus' precious name. We lift before your sister Suzanne again. We pray from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, you'll give her full strength and health in her lungs and her body, that you may know your touch, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. For Sister Lynn and Brother Edward, strengthen Brother Edward and bless Sister Lynn and touch her, Lord, and heal her in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, we thank you for Philip, for how you've touched him, and we pray you continue to minister unto him, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And for any others tonight that need your touch, and Lord, we do pray for those still, Lord, for Sister Jenny and every widow in her fellowship, that you'll bless and strengthen them. And all the family members, give them strength and courage and comfort of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, speak this from your word for a time tonight. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit right now to help me, Lord, and I thank you that you will in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is a real well-known portion of Scripture, and you know the book of Isaiah. It's a wonderful book, and there's 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And many of the old preachers call the book of Isaiah the miniature Bible, because you have 66 books in the whole Bible, and there's 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. Therefore, many deemed it as the small Bible. But the gospel can be clearly preached from the book of Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah talks to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, all the parts of it, as all the Bible is all about the Lord, and the theme of it is all about the Lord. And you know, it's just a wonderful book. And this book of Isaiah was written 700 years before Christ was ever born in Bethlehem's manger. So it is a prophetic book. It is an inspired book. It is God's book, inspired of God, and it is the word of the Lord. Now, this book also is full of prophecy. So much about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is in this book in prophecy form, and many of it's already fulfilled. A matter of fact, most of the prophecies of the Bible are fulfilled, and the ones we're still waiting on to be fulfilled is about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and God come back to his people Israel and so forth. We know that. But most of it is fulfilled. And our text here tonight is to do with incarnation. of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth, his coming to the world, born of a virgin, the incarnation of the Son of God, born of a virgin. And this was prophesied hundreds of years ever before Christ came. Now you know that Jesus was born in a manger. He died on the cross. He had no room, nowhere in this 33 years, nowhere to lay his head during the 33 years in his lifetime. You know, there's some difference when you think of the so-called church today. When you think of the buildings and some of the things, and I'm talking about that which is false, not the real. And you know, they're all for money and all money, and yet the Lord had nothing. And when Peter and John went up to the gate called Beautiful, they had nothing. Silver and gold have we none, but they had the power of God. And you know, this verse here in chapter 9, verse 6, speaks to us of the condescension of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ coming down to earth. And you know that, I've already said about prophecy, three-fourths of this Bible in prophecy terms has already been fulfilled. And three-fourths of this entire Bible is prophecy. So most of your Bible is about prophecy. And God is fulfilling his prophecies. And he did fulfill it, and he will fulfill it. And we know that the Word of God has no private interpretation. So God does it when it happens. You know, William Branham said that once. A virgin shall conceive, and then when it happened, God fulfilled it. And that's how God fulfills his word, you know. And there's so much about the word of God and the second coming of the Lord and the prophecies. And when you think of the prophetical verses in the Bible to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it points forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his incarnation. That's God in flesh. That's why you see what we have and what we believe is superior to Buddhism or Mohammedism or any other isms, because we believe God was in Christ. God was in him. He became flesh and a man, the Son of God. And I won't turn to these scriptures, but you can mark them down if you want them tonight. Micah 5 and verse 2 tells us where he would be born. And that tells us where he would be born. And Isaiah 7, 14 tells us how he would be born. And in Hosea 11, verse 1, it tells us how he would flee into Egypt. And speaking about Moses, you know, when it talks about the son and then the greater son. And Isaiah 7, 14 as well, it tells us what his name would be. The incarnation of Christ, the deity of Christ, being confined within the body of a little baby. That's what it was. And the greatest mystery of all mysteries, here it is. That God of all heavens was in a wee baby. Here's someone, a prophet of God said about it. Let me read you this. It ought to be a real attractive to the people. Little Jehovah crying like a baby. God made flesh in a package. God, who covers all space and time, was before there was a world, a star, a molecule, wrapped himself in little packages, was laid in a manger in a stable where the manure of the cattle and sheep was on things. And up over that stable and in the little manger of straw or hay, Jehovah was laying there crying like a baby. Can you imagine it? No one expected him to come that way. And every time God makes a visit to the earth, it never comes the way it's expected. And even Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, the religious world of that day failed to see him and they failed to recognize him. Because he didn't come with the ecclesiastical stamp out of their organization the way they deemed he would come. And John the Baptist, a prophet, didn't come the way they thought he had come either. They weren't looking for him, but he came, a man from a wilderness, crying, repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. And every time God sends a visitation, it never comes the way they expected. And this gift that God sends, the greatest gift this world's ever had, God's wrapped gift, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you'll notice a theme, and I hear it a lot because I'm working in a place where there's really going all day, and it's all about Christmas, but there's none of it about Jesus. But the whole thing about Christmas is Jesus. And we as Christians, When we have a day, even if the date's wrong, and it is wrong, but nevertheless, we celebrate it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're doing it unto the Lord, and it's not about Christmas and Santa Claus or St. Nicholas, who originated from it, he went and gave gifts out, which that was fine, nothing wrong with that. But it's about the greatest gift that was given. And that was a gift of God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's wrapped gift. And here in 1 Timothy 3:16 it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now, people say there's men just like Jesus. There's no man that could say the things Jesus said, not a man. Jesus could say before Moses was, I am. Jesus has said, Father, give me the glory which I had with you before the world even began. Who else could say that? But the Lord Jesus could say it. Who else could say all things are made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that's made? 1 John 14 says, chapter 1, verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And the Lord was full of grace. Amen. A woman at the well that had five husbands, and the one she had at that time wasn't her husband either. She was living in sin, and Jesus never condemned her. He showed her grace and he saved her. He delivered her. You see, we can get so sanctimoniously holy that we think we're better than somebody else. A fella said to me the other day, oh, you're better than me then. I says, no, I'm no better than you. And he says, I'm good. Just because I'm cursing, I'm still good. I says, you're not good. There's none good. No, not one. And the fact that you think you're good tells me and proves to me you're not good. You're a stinker. And every one of us was stinkers. And none of us was good without the Lord. Didn't Jesus say it himself? There's none good. No, not one. You remember when the Lord preached that sermon to a man? That man done better than any of us. He said, I've never committed adultery. I've never done this. All the law, he fulfilled the whole thing. I would say there's probably not one of us could say in our lifetime we never broke one of the Ten Commandments. We probably at least broke one of them somewhere in our lifetime. I probably broke the most of them over my lifetime. But I'm glad for God's wrapped gift that he took my place. I tell you, that man was upset with me. He cursed me into hell and back out of it several times a day. I'll be honest with you. And that's a dangerous thing. And he thinks there's nothing wrong with cursing. Well, I think there is. A child is born that speaks of his humanity. A son is given that speaks of his deity. You see, when people say he was just a man, that's true. But it's not all true. He was a man. But then he was more than a man. He was God manifested in flesh. Deity was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God was in Christ to reconcile the world unto himself. An ordinary man couldn't do it. It was taking somebody special, only begotten, a special, unique one, came to do it. And he came to see him. Now, I want to read you a wee something I found while I was studying Mary C. Turk. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that name. The Christ of Christmas. Five names were given to Jesus Christ long centuries before he came down from heaven above. Isaiah calls him wonderful. How well this prophet knew his person and the works of his love that he and earth would do. He next calls him counselor. All this indeed. And oh, how blessed we are today when we his counsel heed. We're blessed. The mighty God, yes, he alone has conquered death and sin. And faith in his atoning blood will heaven for us win. The everlasting Father, this may seem a little odd, but with the Father, Christ is one Redeemer and true God. The Prince of Peace, how true this is. The angel knew it too. He brought a heavenly peace when he was born for me and you. May we remember these five names and never once forget the Savior who was thus portrayed is here among us yet. Isn't that wonderful? A little saying, and I want to take from that saying four things I want to take out of it from them names. And the first one, he is a wonderful counselor. And I tell you, you could receive counsel from somebody, but it definitely wouldn't be wonderful counsel. Sure it wouldn't. Somebody could give you good counsel, but there's no counsel like the counsel of the Lord. A fellow asked me someone the day, and he said, I don't know what to do about it. And I turned around, someone just came to me, and I said, do nothing. Because, you know, when you don't know what to do, you're better to do nothing. That's the best advice you can get. When you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Wait on the Lord. But he is our wonderful counselor. This means he's infinite in wisdom. How many believes that tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ is omniscient. That is all known. He knows everything. He's wonderful counselor, the infinite wisdom. That's the one we're talking about. He knows everything. Matthew 13 and verse 54 tells us, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence of this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Jesus, none of these men learned the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus had wisdom above his years. When he was a boy, they said, how come that he has such wisdom? The Lord Jesus had wisdom even from a boy, because he was God's gift. He is the all-knowing, the Savior of infinite wisdom. He knows every heartbeat. He knows every thought. There's nothing you can hide from the Lord. You could tell me or some of these other brothers whatever you want, but you can't hide your heart and your life from the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees and knows everything. He knows when we were coming into this world, and he knows when we're going out of this world. And if we don't go in the rapture and we're going to have a gravestone, the Lord knows the very date that will be on that gravestone. That's a fact. He knows our comings and our goings. He knows everything. He knows every sin. He knows every step you take. He knows your tomorrows. Something we don't know, we don't know tomorrow. We're here tonight. We don't know this evening 100% if we reach home tonight. We don't know. We've saw it. People that went, they've went on and they're not here. And we never thought it would happen, but it did happen. That's why we must be prepared. And not only should we be prepared, but if we're real Christians, we should want to see our sons, our daughters, our loved ones ready to go. And they maybe can't pray for themselves, but we can pray for them, and we need to pray for them. He knows every step. He knows your tomorrows. None of us know it. Where we'll be alive even tomorrow night, he holds the very breath we breathe. We, John Purcell, mentioned Sunday night about the breath he was breathing was because of the Lord. He knows the date and the time of our departure from this earth because of his infinite wisdom. He knows all these things. And Matthew 12:42 tells us, and the queen of the south, and this is about the queen of Sheba, the queen of the south shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the innermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was a wonderful man, and the queen of the south heard of Solomon, and a prophet said she traveled 3 months on a camel's back to see him and to hear him. And when you read it, she said, blessed are you and blessed are those that's with you. And the Bible says that greater than Solomon's here. So even in all Solomon's wisdom and all Solomon's greatness, and he was great in his great wisdom, the Lord Jesus is superior. That's what we're working with tonight. Solomon knew 3,500 proverbs. Solomon knew 1,500 songs. Now you think of that this evening for just some number's sake. That's mighty, isn't it? I mean, you ever heard about the temple that Solomon built? Solomon's temple. How many of you ever, we preached about the tabernacle of Moses, and there's also one of David, but there's one of Solomon. And I tell you, when you go in and study it, and the pillars and the wood and every single thing in it speaks of Jesus Christ. I need to preach on it sometime. But it would take time to preach on it. I can tell you, it's so beautiful and wonderful. And it speaks of the Lord Jesus. But in all his wisdom, in all his sayings. But Jesus said it greater than Solomon's here. One who's wiser by far more wisdom than ever Solomon was. And Solomon was wise. But the Lord Jesus is greater. In Luke 2 verse 20 it says this, even when Christ was only a child. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Even from a boy, had wisdom far above his years. He was special. He was unique. And he came to this earth to save us. And not only did he come to save us, but us that are saved, just as Jesus has wisdom, he can give us wisdom. And I'm not going to be long tonight. I'm only going to be maybe 5 more minutes, and I'm going to just share with you briefly just a little bit of this wisdom. And then Sunday morning, we'll continue on with the next bit, the Lord willing, and the Lord's always willing. That's the thing about it. People say the Lord's willing. He is willing. But the thing is, a lot of people's not willing. There's a lot of God's people's not willing, but the Lord's willing. But the Lord can give us wisdom. And if ever we needed anything, we need wisdom, don't we? I need wisdom. You need wisdom. Maybe you have more wisdom than me. Maybe I have more wisdom than you. That's not important. But all of us need wisdom. And you know, that's one of the things Solomon asked for, was wisdom. Solomon said, Lord, that I might have wisdom to guide your people well. And God said, because you've asked for wisdom, I'll bless you. He blessed him with all other things. And Solomon was a rich man. Very rich man, because God blessed him. Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ, being infinite in wisdom, could impart wisdom to his people? He can impart to us wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom. I tell you, there's a wisdom that you cannot have without having Christ. Do you hear me tonight? There's a wisdom that comes with the knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ that the world doesn't have tonight. A wisdom that you don't have to go to hell, but you can go to heaven. And you can't have this wisdom without having Christ. There's a wisdom that he gives that's superior to our human-born wisdom. The Lord gives it. He's unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The Lord's all that to us tonight. We could never sanctify ourselves. We need the Lord. We could never have redemption of our own selves. I know people preach that they're false prophets. Let's just call them what they are. It's Antichrist. It took the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ we can be saved. And without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9 tells us there's no remission of sins. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. James 1 verse 5 also tells us, If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. That means not stingily, liberally. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if we come to the Lord in a sincere heart, and remember, we're talking about the one that's greater than Solomon. He knows our hearts. No point. We can't hide nothing from the Lord. He knows everything. And if we ask for wisdom, the Lord can give us that wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is infinite in wisdom, gives leadership, direction, guidance to the lives of those that belong to him. The Lord leads us. Doesn't the word of God say, if you acknowledge the Lord in all his ways, he'll direct your paths? Doesn't the word of God say, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by themselves? No, by the Lord. For thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's God's word. We need the word of God. God's word is an illuminator. It's not a darkener. It's an exposer of the darkness. Light exposes the darkness and removes it. When you light a room up that's pitch black, a small light does away with the darkness, doesn't it? I remember when I stayed with my Grandmother Thompson, and she had the old telly lamp, but sometimes I can still hear it. There was a certain noise it made, and she had a tall one, tall lamp that sat up on the table. And then it would get dulled down a bit, and you'd go over and you'd give it a pump or two. And you give it a wee pump or two, and the room lit up again. It was getting a bit dull, and the room lit up again. And I tell you what, the Lord can light us up. Maybe you're feeling a wee bit down or a wee bit dull, but the Lord can light you up bright. And I tell you, the devil doesn't like the brightness, I can tell you. He hates it. I don't care who it is or who you are. If your life, if you don't have the guiding hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you're in darkness and you're lost. But we need his guiding hand. We want his guiding hand. Everyone needs the guiding hand of Christ, the wisdom that he gives, the leadership that he gives, and he brings us out of darkness into his marvelous light, because the gospel is the light of Christ. And our way is lit tonight. Our way is lit tonight. And I want to encourage you at this time of the year, when the world's singing about Christmas, I want us to think about Jesus. I want us to think about Jesus. It's not about the tinsel and the trees. It's about the man on the cross. It's about a baby in a manger. It's about one that rose from the dead and went back to heaven. And on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit. We want to praise him and worship him, don't we? I tell you, and he's coming again. He's coming again. You think of this tonight. If the rapture was to take place tonight or tomorrow, I don't know when it'll take place. But when the catching up takes place, our loved ones that were born again, spirit-filled, they're going to come out of them graves. Their bodies is coming out. But the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched the Mennonites or the Amish. I know there's a slight difference in them. They came out of Germany. They were persecuted. They were Baptists, really. They came out of Germany. They were persecuted, and they went over to America. And some of them still live into the old ways, and they farm on the ground with the horses and everything. They've no electric. They've nothing. And they're strange. But, you know, when you look at them people, and you think of the life they have, how close they are to the Lord, and then when you think of this here, think of this just for a moment. When we are in the millennium reign with the Lord, what's it going to be like? There's going to be no sin, no sickness, nothing in the millennium reign. 1,000 years we'll live in this earth with Jesus Christ, and the devil will be bound. Isn't that wonderful? There's lots ahead for the Christians. There's lots ahead for us. Let us pray for our loved ones tonight. I need... Don't necessarily need to call anybody by name, but if you feel led to, just be yourself. But we want to see them saved. We want to see them coming in. Prayer works. Prayer works. There were Sister Jenny's parents that were prayed for over 30 years, and they've came. And you don't know when they're going to come, but you want to believe they're going to come. That God's going to bring them. Let's come and bow our heads tonight, and we'll seek the Lord this evening and praise God. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you. The precious name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wrapped gift. The greatest gift that ever this world's seen or could see. Lord, you were supernaturally, man was supernaturally guided to you by a star, the Magi, and they brought them presents to you. And Lord, when we come to this time of the year where we give presents, receive presents, help us to think about that little baby, what they brought the presents to, lying in a manger, little Jehovah, lying in a manger. And 33 years later, would die on a cross and take the sins of the whole world on his own body, on the tree. and the curse that fell in Genesis, he would lift on his own brow and his own body and bear it all away, so that we could be, like it says in Galatians, redeemed from the curse of the law. We bless you tonight. We thank you for the 5 wounds that he had. For by your stripes, your wounds, we are healed. We bless you tonight that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon you, was upon you, and by your stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned every one to his own way, but the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Lord, we thank you tonight. There's a man that stood in the breach. There's a man that spanned the gap that no one could span between heaven and hell, time and eternity. We bless you tonight for the man Christ Jesus. We love you tonight, Lord, because you first loved us. Help us, we pray. Grant us your wisdom, your guidance. Bless every single person in this room. Bless every home, every family. Save every son, every daughter, every husband, every wife, every niece, every nephew, every aunt, every uncle. We claim every single one that's near and dear to every person in this room tonight. We plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ upon them. And we ask for household salvation for all tonight in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will move in men and women, and you'll bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Pray for your own people that's saved. Lord, that you'll stir them, and you'll strive with them. And for every one of us, that you'll revive us in the midst of the years to serve you. And may the latter end be greater than the former. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Father, have your way, we pray. We ask again for those suffering or sick that you'll heal them and touch them and minister unto them. And Lord, for those that's spoken against us and those that's done us harm, we bless them tonight and pray your mercy and grace upon them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one as we continue to work.